impossible, inconceivable. Have you ever thought of those words? Maybe you've thought of it just this last week, sometime in the past. Maybe there's been a sports team, and your sports team was losing. Maybe they were even losing by 4 runs. And it was the last inning, the bottom of the 9th, and you just thought, there's no way. Impossible. They ain't coming back. But a little more seriously, maybe it's an impossible schedule ahead of you. You've got a lot on your plate. You've got exams, you've assignments due. You have a double workload at work, and you're just thinking, I can't conceive it. Inconceivable. How's it all going to get done? Or maybe it's a relationship. You're thinking, I don't know how we're going to get unstuck from this conflict. You guys know, I've shared with you, I've been in those relationships, even in my own family of origin, bitterness, mistrust, 11 plus years of no communication, blocking me out from some in my family of origin, and there were definitely days, years, months where I was thinking, impossible. There is no way I'm ever going to see a better day in this relationship. Have you been there? Are you there right now? Are you in an impossible situation? You can't see. You have no idea on how you're going to get out of this difficulty that you're in. Well, if that's you, let's take a look in Mark chapter 9. We're going to be looking at Mark 9, verses 14 through 29 as we continue looking in the Gospel of Mark. Is there a change that you need in your life? Is there a change in you need with other people? Let's take a look. How can we see God work in these impossible situations? We're going to start in verse 14. We just finished seeing Jesus metamorphosized, transfigured, glorified. Through his transfiguration, the disciples, 3, Peter, James, John, have come down from the mountain, and now they're going to rejoin the other disciples, picking up in verse 14. And when they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and scribes arguing with them. So we're learning about Bible study methods in story, in narrative. So what's our setting? Who is the who? Well, we have the disciples, Peter, James, John. We have Jesus. We have the other 9 disciples. We also have a great crowd. We have scribes. And later on, we'll see that we have 2 other characters in this story as well. A father and his son. But what is the what? What's going on? There is an argument. And we're going to ask that question, well, what is that argument? And we're going to see that being asked in the narrative in a couple of verses. But continuing on in verse 15, and immediately, that's our word, isn't it? Our Markan word. Immediately, all the crowd No one was being left out. When they saw him, you know, there's something about when we truly, accurately see Jesus, when we hear about him, it evokes, it provokes a response, a reaction to him. What is that response? Keep reading in verse 15. They were greatly amazed and running up to him. Hello. Shalom. Ni hao ma. Como esta? They greeted him. There's something about when we truly see Jesus, we're drawn to him. And he asked the question that we're all asking. Verse 16. What are you arguing about? What's the problem? He's probably asking the scribes or the disciples. We don't know. The text, the story doesn't tell us. But neither the scribes nor the disciples answer. It's verse 17. Someone from the crowd answers him. Teacher, I brought my son to you. Not technically to Jesus, but to his representatives, his disciples, who had the authority to act on his behalf and represent him. I brought my son. So enter in the next two characters to you. For he has a spirit. That's another character. He has a spirit that makes him mute. And continuing on, verse 18. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. And he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I have my helper, Sam. Sam, where are you? Okay, come on up, Sam. Now, Sam, he always is so willing to illustrate someone who's demon-possessed. Thank you, Sam. All right, Sam, so just give us your best ad hoc acting here. So what happens is, where are we? Verse 9. Whenever it throws him down. Okay, he foams at the mouth. Okay, I have a little shaving cream here, but that's okay. We're not going to just imagine. Okay, we got a little foaming at the mouth. Okay, a little shaving cream. And then what happens also? Grinds his teeth. Becomes rigid. Stiffens up. Okay. All right, thank you, Sam. Thank you, Sam, for being willing. All right, so you can sit in the front row because we're going to have another demonstration in just a little bit. But, all right. Now, Sam is not really demon-possessed, okay? This is just pretend. This is, don't do this at home kind of thing, right? This is just for illustrations. Okay, so I ask your disciples to ekbalo, to cast it out, right? And they were not able. Look at those words. Remember those words. Very important. The word there is dunamis, where we get our word dynamite. And we're going to see this word repeated in its adjectival, its noun form, and its verbal form. What he's basically saying is, your disciples, they didn't have no dynamite. They had no power. They couldn't do it. Okay? Verse 19. And he answered them, O faithless generation. Notice that word again, faithlessness. This word, this belief, faith is going to be repeated as well. O faithless generation, including the disciples, including the Father, including the scribes, frustration, exasperation. How long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me. Bring him to me. Well, praise God. There was trust and obey. There was a level of trust, and obey. The Father, perhaps others as well, they obeyed. They brought, bring him to me, they obeyed. They brought the boy to him. And then we're going to have a direct encounter with the Spirit. And when the Spirit saw him, again, there's something about when you truly see Jesus, our word, immediately, it convulsed the boy. All right, Sam, come on up one more time, brother. You can just stay down there. It convulsed the boy. Convulsed. Okay. Convulsed the boy. All right. All right. He fell on the ground and rolled about. Okay. Yeah. He foamed at the mouth again. Okay. We got our shaving cream. Shaving cream. Okay. All right. Thank you, Sam. And Jesus asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? So it's not only the nature of the unclean spirit, but it's the longevity of it, which is the impossible situation we're dealing with. We don't know how old the child was, but he tells us from childhood, obviously it's been happening for many years. And it has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. This is a destructive spirit. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Friends, the Father, the disciples, they were in an impossible situation. And how did they see that the impossible situation would be resolved? They had to bring their impossibility to Jesus. They had to bring their impossibility to Jesus. And friends, with your impossible situation, how can you see it resolved? We too need to bring our impossibilities to Jesus. And so, you've got all those exams coming up this next week. You've got a boatload of work to do. Bring that before Jesus. Maybe you're at a point in your spiritual life. You feel like you're plateauing. You're in a rut. You can't see how you can get out of this spiritual rut that you're in. Bring that to Jesus. Maybe you're feeling loneliness. You feel like, I don't have any friends. Maybe you're feeling loneliness for your child. My child doesn't have any friends. In fact, she hasn't had friends for many, many years. It seems impossible. How in the world can we get her out of this situation? Bring that to Jesus, friends. You want to see God work in the impossible, in the inconceivable? Bring your impossibility to Jesus. Now, moving on, coming back to verse 22, at the end, he says, the Father says, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Now, we appreciate that they brought the problem to Jesus and asked him for help, but this is a little bit insulting. And we see this response in verse 23. Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible for one who believes. Notice, it's that word again. If you can, I didn't bolden that, but it's that word again, dynamite. If I've got the dynamite, what do you mean? Jesus, if you got the dynamite, have compassion on us. if you can, all things are cannable. They're possible. They have dynamite possibility for one who believes. This is a little bit insulting to Jesus. I mean, it's like saying going up to LeBron James and, you know, we're losing the basketball game and going up to LeBron and saying, "Hey, LeBron, if you can, help us win the basketball game." I mean, who would say a thing like that to LeBron? I mean, LeBron would say, "Who you think you're talking to? Don't you know who I am? The greatest basketball player on the planet? What do you mean if you can?" Or, and then, you know, have compassion on us. What is this asking Jesus, who we've seen through this whole book, the most compassionate person on the earth? I mean, who would go up to mom, you know, who would go up to mom and say, "Mom, could you love me?" Would you say that, Daniel, to your mom? You know? Yeah, I mean, what kind of insult is that? Don't you know who I am? I'm mom. I got more love to for you than the whole world. Well, this is a little insulting. Verse 25. Or verse 24. Immediately, again, our word, the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe, help my unbelief. I believe, help my unbelief." And so that's the cry. That is our cry. Friends, do you want to see God work in your impossibility? Yes, bring your problem to Jesus, but also bring your unbelief to Jesus. You see, the problem here is twofold. Not only does our son have a spirit in him, that's a big enough problem, but the other problem is that the father can't even believe that Jesus will help him in his impossibility, or he has a limited belief. Well, continuing on, Jesus, he sees that a crowd is coming, running together. He rebukes the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." Oh, that would be great. Wouldn't that be great if Jesus did that for our lives? Anxiety, come out of me, never enter me again. Depression, come out of me, never enter me again. Self-glorification, cast thee away, never come out of me again. Wouldn't that be great? Verse 26, and after crying out, boy, we must be in the nursery. Did you see that? The father cries out, "Help me." And now the demon is crying out. Convulsing him terribly, not because he's possessed by the demon, but in this case, because it's coming out, it came out. And the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He is dead." What a transformation has taken place. And it took a toll on the boy. He looked as if he was dead, but he wasn't. Verse 27, Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. And so, friends, the disciples, the father was facing an impossible situation. He not only needed to bring his impossibility to Jesus, he brought his unbelief to Jesus and said, "Help my unbelief." And so, friends, as you too face your impossible situation, ask God to give you more faith, to help your unbelief. And so I know some of our spouses in here, you're thinking, "That's it. That's the reason. That's the reason that I'm having all these troubles with my spouse. It's demonic. They've got a demon. And, you know, not possessed, but they're oppressed. And not only do I need to bring my spouse before the Lord and say, 'Lord, help,' but I need to believe God, help me to believe that you can help. Okay? Or you're thinking, man, I got so much work to do this upcoming week. I don't know how God can get me through it. Not only bring the problem before the Lord, but say, Lord, give me the faith. Help me to believe. Help my unbelief. Well, we need a little more explanation on exactly how that's going to be fleshed out. So looking to verse 20 and 29. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could, there's that word again, ability, dynamos. Why could we? Why didn't we have the dynamite, the power to cast it out? And he said to them, this kind cannot, doesn't have the power, is not able. It's that same word. Can't be driven out by anything but prayer. Friends, how can we see God work in our impossibility? Bring your impossibility to Jesus. Bring your unbelief to Jesus. And beseech God with praise and thanksgiving. Expressing faith to accomplish more for him. To accomplish more for him. So, a couple of things about beseeching God with praise and thanksgiving. You know, the key was, we don't know exactly why the disciples couldn't cast it out. Maybe they weren't praying enough. We're not exactly sure what the background to it was. But maybe they were becoming a little overconfident. Maybe they started to feel confident in their own abilities. I mean, maybe they were in like the spiritual, demonic World Series. Okay, and if we look back in Mark chapter 6, we can see that they were commissioned by Jesus to go and cast out demons, and they were having success. They were saying, hey, yeah, we're casting out demons. It's going great. I mean, maybe they were having success. They got a little overconfident. They said, yeah, we cast out demons in games 3, 4, and 5. It'd be no problem. Cast out a demon. And I'm sure we can cast out a demon in game 6 or 7. No problem. Yeah, we got this. We got this. And they were heading out and they were trying to cast out a demon. And they were not depending on the Lord anymore. They got a little cocky, a little overconfident, a little confident in their own abilities. And they weren't relying on the Lord. And the Lord said, I'm going to give you some humble pie. No, you're not going to cast out that demon in game 6. No, you're not going to cast out that demon in game 7. I'm going to teach you. You got to depend on me. You got to have faith in me. Amen. All right. Yeah, we will learn a little lesson here. Eat some humble pie. So the key, right, the key to faith is what you're putting your faith in. And so the emphasis is not churning up the faith and intensifying that faith, but making sure I'm having faith in the right person. I mean, if Gabriel wants to go to George Bush International Airport, you know, he's not going to be putting faith in himself to drive himself there. It don't matter how much faith he has in himself. Oh, I believe I can get me to IAH. It doesn't matter. If he tried to drive himself to IAH, he's going to crash. But no, he needs to put his faith, even if it's just a little faith, in Bob. You know, Bob, he's the director of parking at U of H. I mean, he knows cars. He's clean driving record, long history, never gotten in a car wreck in his life. You got to put your faith in the right place. And so in order for Gabriel to increase his faith, he needs to, like, praise Bob. Says, you know, Bob, oh, great Bob, you're so great. You're such a reliable driver. You've never failed me before. You've never failed anyone before. You have such a clean driving record. You know, Bob, you are so powerful and great and loving and caring. I know you can get me to IAH. And so, friends, that's what we need to do the same way, okay? with God. Praise him for his power and praise him for his love. And praise God before you petition God. And so you've got all this work before you. Say, God, I praise you. You're powerful. I know you can do it. And if you can't think of how he helped you in the past. Lord, you helped me last week through this assignment, through this project. I know you can help me again. If you can't think of personal praise or thanksgivings, just thank him that he created the universe. Lord, I know you're powerful. You have dynamite. You created the earth. Thank him for raising Jesus from the dead. God, thank you. I know you can do it. You raised Jesus from the dead. You can help me through this because you resurrected Jesus. Praise him for his great power. Praise him for his great love. Lord, I know you're a God of community. Whatever your impossibility is, think of how the attribute of God fits into that impossibility. Your child doesn't have very many friends. God, I praise you. You're a God who values community. You're a God of love. You're a powerful God. I know you can provide friends for my child. And so that's the nature of faith. But also remember that as you pray, pray with faith and not with foolishness, or pray responsibly according to the will of God. Let not your impossible situation be that you don't have $5 billion, right? God, I know you are the richest. You own the cattle on 1,000 hills. Give me $5 billion so I can indulge in pleasure. Well, no, that's not. 1 John 5 tells us we have to pray in accordance with God's will, right? And also don't pray these prayers. God, I know you're powerful. You can do it. You got this, God. You're powerful. Do say that. God, you love me. You're the greatest. You're compassionate. You love me more than my mommy. And help me get through this week of assignments and projects. And here I am. I'm going to go out and spend 12 hours watching Netflix. God, you can do it. No, that's not praying in faith. That's praying in foolishness, right? Okay. And lastly, pray. Let us pray to be blessed. Let us pray consumer prayers. But I think God wants to move us as his people and his church to move from consumer impossibilities to contributor impossibilities. And so, yes, God, you're great. You're powerful. You can fix me. All my impurities, my problems. You're powerful. You're a holy God. You can do it. You can also fix my wife. You can fix my children. You can provide for all my needs. Those are all great prayers. But we need to also start praying contributing prayers. Lord, give me the strength to impact this Katy community. Lord, I know you love all the peoples in this Katy community. Help us to start gospel stations or small groups in every sector of this community. Lord, help us to send out laborers all to the ends of the earth where there are no churches. Let us also trust God with the impossible, not only to be blessed, but to be a blessing. So friends, how do we see God work in our impossibilities? Bring your impossibility to God. Bring your unbelief to God and beseech the Lord with praise and thanksgiving. Praise him and thank him before you petition him. Will you do that this week? Will you do that every day this week as you pray a prayer? Will you praise God and thank him before you petition him? And you will see your faith grow. Will you do that this week? Yes, Pastor, I will in my prayers. I will praise God first and thank him before if you will do that this week, do that every day this week. Will you raise your hand? Yes, Pastor, I will praise and thank God this week before I petition him. And expressing faith to accomplish more for him. So, the Patriots, they were down 28 to three? Was it 28-3 a couple of years ago? It was halftime. And they thought, man, no way. No possible way. But little did they know, they had someone called Tom Brady. And just like he had done many times before, Tom Brady led the charge. He brought them back right here in Houston. The impossible situation was made a possibility. You know those family of origin struggles I've had? We're not out of the woods, but after 11 years, we're talking again. After 11 years of no communication, we're talking again. In fact, I used to have panic attacks every time I got an email or a phone call after we started talking again. But I can tell you, praise the Lord, I'm not completely out of the woods yet, but just had some conversations even just a couple of days ago, and I don't have those same almost panic attacks anymore. Friends, God can work in our impossible situations, not only to bless us, but to use our church to do impossible things, to be a blessing to the community and to the ends of the earth. Let us bring our impossibilities to God, bring our unbelief to God, and beseech the Lord with praise and thanksgiving, expressing faith to see Him accomplish more for His glory. Lord, we praise You. You're a God of miracles. You're a powerful God. Use us this week, O God. Help our unbelief as we praise You for who You are, for Your great power, and for Your great love, that surely, according to Your will, You can work great things through us and in us, whether it's our schoolwork, our work, a relationship, our spiritual condition, whether it's other people's issues. Lord, we entrust them to You. And we commit this to You, and we pray in Jesus' name.